This morning I'm going to continue from last week's message. And if the Lord calls me off of it to go in a different direction, that's exactly what I'll do. But I can promise you eventually I will get through this, because it's important for us from a teaching standpoint and a preaching standpoint that we understand that there is a purpose for our life. And in 2014, it is our time, our year of commitment at Vine Grove Baptist Church. Now, folks, there has to be commitment. There has to be commitment within the heart of love, does there not? There must be a commitment within the realm of the friends that you run with. The best friends, the worst friends, or whatever kind of friends, there's always a commitment. God says, I made a commitment to you. The commitment I have made to you is that I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will make sure that you always have enough and that you're always taken care of. I may have to send somebody else, one of my other servants, to follow through. I will take care of you. Now, last week I began with building Jesus' church using his biblical chain of commitment, which is attendance, prayer, Bible reading, tithing, and service. Now, we have started at this is where you need to understand as a Christian. Okay, as an individual, I am standing here. Now, I am wrapped in self as a human being just like you are. As we begin in life, you know that. Look at your two-year-old kids. You tell me you're teaching them to share? No, some little boy or little girl is going to get popped in the nose if they mess with her cookie or his cookie. They do not understand the sharing. You and I are human beings, and we're flawed. Every one of us are flawed. The ones who think that you're perfect, you're in worse shape than the rest of us who admit that we're not. So, as a human being, I stand here. Then, I'm one part of a link. I'm human. Jesus comes into my heart. Now, my spiritual me, I have been born again, born from above, born anew. I'm a new creation in Christ within my spirit. But I still understand that as a human being, as a Christian, I unite together with the Spirit of Christ. I see that that's going to make me one of the links in God's chain of life now. But I also realize that my human me is still flawing. And my whole life is spent with me dealing with my spiritual nature and my human desires. Now, the individual that says, no, I don't, I've surpassed all of that, the rest of you get away from them. Because that's not the human condition. The human condition is made up of a battle that you and I have raging in our heart. Well, I've never committed a sin, they tell me, since I was saved. And that if they hadn't, that was the first sin they committed. When they said that to me, you are a human being. Human flaws are still a part about you. The battle is with you and the spiritual you that is on the inside. We know that, right? Okay, now I become a Christian link. After I become a Christian link, which is called a master link, or what I call it, I'm a master's link. The master's in charge of me. Because I am a Christian. So therefore, I then, as a master link, will connect myself in a chain to every other Christian master link. And we all then form the body of Christ called the church. We are a chain hooked together because we become a master link, or we are of the spirit of our master, Jesus Christ. We hook together. And as we hook together in this chain that we're building, Jesus says, this is my church, and I will use my church. Jesus died for his church. Jesus' church, which is us, not this building. Jesus' church, the one he died for, he loves. And he wants us as a church to be blessed in the life we're living, even in a human situation. Now, I have got to make sure my family's taken care of. You have to make sure your family is taken care of. We do what it takes to take care of our family, financially, a home, food, and all the rest. And God says, okay, I will watch over you. I will watch over your family, but I want you to understand, my house, my church, my house, my church also needs the food brought in. My house, my church also needs everyone working together like you would in a family unit and watch after one another. So last week we understood that as a link connecting to other master Christian links, we form God's church. Now, I read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Then from there, I didn't get much further, the best I recall. I do want to bring this to you. This is what happens because we are weak human beings. Now, you might think you're tough, but you're not. You may be physically tough, but you're not dealing with the hurt and the pain that's going on in this world and within your life. I don't care how well off you are financially or how poor you think you are financially. I always tell everybody when they say, you know, I'm too poor to do this, too poor to do that. Would you please look at 2/3 of the rest of the world that are starving to death? Will you look at the Christians throughout the rest of the world that are being slaughtered because they take a stand for Christ? And seldom will you ever hear it ever mentioned within the churches and the United States of America. The richest country, the most wealthy in all the world, our poorest in this nation, sleeping under a bridge, my friends, is wealthier than other nations that don't even have a bridge to sleep under. And we need to accept our responsibility to God's word. My family is under protection by God. Well, does that mean nothing's going to happen to them? No, it doesn't. It means that you and I, as Christians, we are walking still in the flesh, and we are dealing with the hurt and the pain that the flesh brings our way. We deal with emotions that, and you think, well, nobody else feels the way I do. Yes, they do. Their problems, their hurts, their pains just have different names. All of us. But we are still the children of God. We are his church linked together. Individually, I am a Christian. I cannot represent the totality of who Jesus Christ is as an individual. I can't. I have too many flaws, too many personality quirks, too many of this, too many of that, not enough of this and not enough of that. Therefore, as a church linked together, we link together so that each different master link helps out the weakest of the others. It's called a church, and it's called a church being blessed by God. When I accepted Christ, I wrote an article for February. I hope you read it in the newsletter. In writing that article, I realized something. A great importance of our link to one another. You see, when we are linked together as God's children, I am obligated in that link of the chain to realize that the weakest link is the weakest point within the church. And the wisdom of an old Marine would be, you support the weak link. You lift up the weak link. Because this chain is only as strong as the weakest link. I don't care how strong all the other parts of the chain are. If that weak link breaks, you've got problem and you have the falling apart of God's house. We're watching in our own nation people turning against the church. And they're making all sorts of excuses to do that. Christ has never turned against me. Doesn't matter what situations I've been in as a prison chaplain or wherever it's been, in battle in Vietnam or in Dominican Republic, Christ has always been there. I have not always been there for him. Now, as I grow in faith and in maturity of his word, I realize that my obligation is no longer to me. My obligation is to anybody but me. I'm a Christian. I'm a master link, but only one of the master links of God's church. So each one of us have to be about our Father's business that he called us to be about. I can't tell you what you're called to do. God can. I can't say this is what you're doing wrong or this is what you're doing right because I'm not you. I don't know the battles that you fought last week. Neither do I understand the battles that you're going to fight a week ahead. How do I know I don't understand it? I don't even understand my own. Therefore, I know I can't understand yours. But I know one who can. But the problem within the churches today, and the reason these thousands of churches are closing annually, is because we've locked God out of his church. We've locked God out of our heart. And we've said, Lord, I'm saved. And I keep hearing folk, I do believe in the security of the believer. But I do not believe in the individual who says, I can go off a whoring and do anything that I want to in the world because I am a Christian and it doesn't matter what I do. That's not the teaching of the security of the believer. The teaching of the security of the believer focuses on, do you love Jesus like Jesus loves you? You don't have a right to rape grace. We don't have a right to go out here and do whatever we want and attempt to rewrite God's word. You go ahead and buy that Queen James version. You want somebody that's rewritten the word of God? Go buy you a Bible like that man's in control of, and that man will separate anything to do with homosexuality or lesbianism, bestiism, or any of the other stuff. You go ahead, you buy that, and you worship that God. But it is not the God of the universe. It is not the God of our nation, and should never, ever be held up as the God of our nation. I realize that one day, that when I'm reading the word of God, very high possibility that I will be charged with a hate crime. I see it coming closer and closer in our nation. Okay, but I will accept my responsibility. I'm not going to fight them. I'm not going to do any of that. I will go to jail. What a better way for me to go back to the prison and the jail systems and I'm serving time for standing strong for the holy word of God. What a way to go. And I got news for you. If I die in that jail cell, I'm out of there. I don't need a key. I don't need a button to be pushed. Because when I was a young boy, Jesus pushed my button. And he introduced himself to me. Larry, I know you. Lord, I want to know you. And I met the greatest friend I've ever had in life. But the weak human character links that you and I have are the main cause of the Christian structural failure of our master links. We are a master link individually hooked together, and we feel God's heart with pain. Listen to Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. This morning I want us to look at part two of this, at two of the most prominent causes of the Christian master link failure. What's happening with us? These are the two main causes of us as Master Links failing our Savior, failing our church. But it happens both within our relationship with Christ and the world. Both of them deal either within our relationship with Christ or the world. Let's listen to them. Number one, the lack of godly fear in his church. Let me read that again. The lack of godly fear within his church. Now, people say, fear. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot more than you think that it does. The fear of the scripture is an awesomeness. It is a holiness. It is understanding of the great respect that I am to have for God in the assembly of the other master links that you and I are to have. It's that master link hooking together with other master links. But what's going on within our churches? When we no longer fear, and let me do fear another way. Again, I told you, there's a multiplicity of definitions about this type of fear. Should I be in awesome reverence to God? Yes. But also, you remember this, that as I told you at the beginning, I have a spiritual nature that Satan cannot touch. Do you know that Satan doesn't even tempt me in my spiritual nature? He always tempts me in my old nature. Got it? You do too, right? Okay. That's where the temptation is. But what happens with us is when we have no awesome respect for who God is, that we'll do anything to keep from following him. We'll rob him. We'll steal from him. We'll do anything that it takes because we're saved by grace. That's what your pastor calls raping grace. We're taking advantage of the goodness of who God is. So the other type of fear is this. Nowhere ever has anyone stood face to face with God Almighty, save for Jesus Christ and him alone. For he is the incarnation of God. And God warns all the human race, be fearful when you come before me. I nor you, and all these people that said they died and went to heaven and came back and giving you all of this stuff, I saw God face to face. No, you didn't. I'm sorry, folks. No, you didn't. The ones who truly did see John the Revelator, Apostle Paul, he said, I can't speak of it because I can't explain it. That's the reverent fear and the awesomeness of being in the presence of God. The human being cannot stand in the presence of God. Because of who he is, we will fall flat on our faces. That's the fear, the human fear of love, awesomeness of God, respect of God. And as a human being, we'll get right down there on our face where we belong in the presence of God. For you cannot look upon him. He told Moses that. Jesus warned us about it. Therefore, be careful of the false doctrine that teaches otherwise. When I went to heaven and God sent me down gave me some tablets, I brought them down here and we started a different religion. And well, where are those tablets? Well, I sent them back to be with God. Okay, I'm a Christian. I was led to Christ by the holy word of God being preached. Didn't read the Bible at 8 years old. And in those days, the Bible they would have given me to read, I wouldn't have understood it anyway. I was under conviction by the Holy Spirit just like you. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I don't have to know how to spell Jesus to accept him. I have to know how to proclaim the word of God until God calls me to proclaim his word and he'll take care of the rest. Are you catching it? Okay, what is going on? Our lack of godly fear in his church. Well, let's stand up and preach some good poetry. It make you feel good. And we can get together some good feel-good messages and we can sit down and we can sit soaking sour on everything that feels so good. Even I, if I overeat fudge and White Castles, I can't stand. Think of it. God is saying to us, have you been sweetened more with the world and bringing it into my congregation than with my spirit within you? Listen to Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, God's my buddy. No, he's not. He's your God. He's not your buddy. He is God. And we are to collapse in front of him with all the weakness that we have and saying, Lord, here I am, have mercy. Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Any preacher that gets up here or in any other pulpit and is not shaking while they're preaching, something's wrong. I have never ceased to shake. And I don't care how many people I'm either teaching to or preaching to. I have such a fear of misleading or doing something wrong in their presence. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, does the Bible speak of fools? Yes. Does the Bible give a definition of who a fool is? Yes. The fool has said within his heart, there is no God. The fool has said within his heart, there is no God. So there's the fool, the one who says there is no God. Do you see a lot of that in our generation? With people putting up billboards and all saying you don't need Jesus in Christmas and God is not alive. If he's not alive, what are you putting the board up for? If he is not real in the heart of people on Christmas, then why are you having trouble? If you're not a Christian, don't worship Christ. Go by, do whatever you want to do. But Christians ought to lift up the Lord every day of our life. We don't need to wait till it's Christmas. Because, friends, I can tell you right now, when you serve the Lord, you wake up every day. It's Christmas. Because the greatest gift you could receive or I could receive is the gift of eternal life to be with him. And you know what he says, tells me to do? Larry, you preach and proclaim my truth. I'll see you later. I'll talk to your heart. I'll talk to who you really are. But I want you to know you preach it. And if the time comes, if I do live to that point, the time comes and I am called a criminal because I proclaim the word of God, as I've said many times before, even in this message, I will not fight them. I will sit in that jail cell praising God because they're in deep, deep trouble. It would not be me they're arresting. It would be the word of God. That's why I would be obliged, ordered by God, to pray for them. And if you really want to know what that means, why am I going to pray for them? You have no idea about the depth of the judgment of God on someone to the point that it is so bad to where God says you pray for your enemy. Now, can we ever understand it? No. Now, I always liked it when I said, you know, you tell God on your enemy. But, you know, you get to the praying for them when they're out to destroy you or hurt you or kill you. It's not very easy sitting in a foxhole in Vietnam or in some desert somewhere with the enemy firing upon you and you decide to take a prayer break to pray for them. I never prayed for my enemies. In Vietnam, I did pray, Lord, please make the rounds stop them. I think as a Marine, I said, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you'd kill them before they kill me. That was the kind of prayer I had. And that's reality living, folks. But now I understand you and I, the protection we have for our family, Folks, it's in the Word of God. It is not in our strength. And you better protect that family. And you better use whatever means to protect your family. But the true power is in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God's mercy is found in godly fear. Listen to Luke 1, verses 49 and 50. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. That's that awesome fear that we have. Oh, I just can't wait till I see God coming. You and that human body, if I suggest you close your eyes and let him open your spiritual eyes. Because the human body cannot come in the presence of the power and the might of Almighty God face to face. Won't work. Here's your second master weak link. It's called when Christians are seeking worldly success above godly significance. The more money that I have, the more success I have within the world. Then, Lord, you give me all this success, and then I'll serve you. No, you won't. People, you won't serve the Lord when you become successful in your secular world. If you don't serve him now, you're not going to serve him then. Doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. That's not what God says about serving. That's not what God says about his church. God says that the church is focusing on success measured in the minds of men. And God says, I'm looking for significance as it's measured in my realm or in the realm of God. God says, here's what makes you significant within your generation. Every one of us, listen, folks, you're not going to get another shot at this any more than I am. If I could go back and change a lot of things, a lot of statements I'd made, a lot of mistakes, if I could go back and change those, yes, I would. I would have said it differently. I would have done it differently. But I can't go back. Jesus already took care of the problems. Jesus has already forgiven me, but he's also said, don't you be a jerk like that again, Larry. You listen to me. You see, that's what makes us the master's link. The master is speaking to us at all times. We're living in a hard generation, but no harder than any other generation has ever had to live. Other generations, the greatest generation, what did they do? They stood up for America. They stood up for their God who gave us this great land. And right now we've got more tyranny within Washington, D.C. than you can ever imagine. And yes, that term just got picked up by the NSA as they listen to all the preachers and all speak, whatever you say, don't say it's tyranny. But it is. It's tyrannical. Power is what people look for. You know what Jesus gave us? Love, peace, grace, mercy. I would never refuse to allow anyone to come to this church as long as they would sit and listen to the gospel, because that's what's preached in this church. And if you want to hear something else, you need to go to another church that will preach what you're listening to. But you and I need to get out of this. Everything's measured in our mind of this is when I become, this is when I made it. Oh, at this point, this is when I've never met a wealthy individual that ever had enough. Unless they were a Christian. They never got enough. Listen to Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You cannot follow the word of God. You cannot follow in ministry. You cannot follow as even a master link hooked to his other master links as the church. You cannot ever do that without taking up your cross and following him. What does that mean? I thought Jesus, the only one, had to die on a cross. The burden of life is heavy. The burden of proclaiming the word of God is heavy. In all the burdens that you'll walk through in your life, you'll find so many that are so heavy, you can't carry them. You'll find yourself down on your knees from the weight of just life itself, from the hurt and the pain that you'll see within your own family. That pain will weigh you down. But Jesus says, listen to me. It's not in the pain of those around you. It's in the pain in your heart to the point to where you refuse to get up. I got to get up. But Jesus says, as you stand, look at the lesson Jesus gave us on bearing your own cross, remembering his bearing of the cross. Remember, the burden was so heavy he could no longer carry the weight of the cross. What did he show us? A helper hooked together, the link, the other link, one on one side, one on the other side, lifting up you. Two master links lifting up the weaker master link for that period. Now, today and tomorrow, you may be the weak link. The next day, it may be me. Each of us can understand the burden of life getting that heavy. But folks, we ought to be able to come together, worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, and know that the preacher's preaching the gospel. How do you do that? Read the Bible. That's one part of our commitment this year. Attendance, prayer, Bible reading, tithing, and service. Yes, I'm going to spend the whole year on getting the chain together. Because folks, you want to get it together in your family. But if you won't get it together with God, you're not going to ever get it together in your family either. If you will not stand up for the truth of God, you will not stand up for the truth about your weaknesses and deal with them. We just won't do that. Romans 14, verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Have it before yourself in the presence of God. That faith, it's the God of the universe that follows through. When he says, trust me, trust him, and you'll never be sorry you did. Psalm 37, verses 23 through 34. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Listen to me. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints, and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay them. The Lord will not leave him in his hand. Woo! Folks, that's, if you get back in Scripture and start reading how the disciples were locked in jail, what were they locked up for? Proclaiming Jesus' word. And do you remember something? At night, the jail cells opened and they walked free as the angel led them out. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him, but the Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Hebrews 10:31. And you listen to this well. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Are we focused more on success? Are we focused more in our life on making it in the world than being significant for the name of Jesus Christ? Everything that you have when you leave planet Earth is going to be left here. Even the only part of you that's leaving, your spirit, that body that you're walking around in, that vehicle, it's going to turn back to dust. And I don't know whether you ever had a fear of worms or not, but they're coming in and they're going out. That's the human condition. We're rotten. And we will rot back into the dust from whence God gave us. But the scripture says, and your spirit will ascend to heaven to the one who gave it. When God breathed the spirit of life into Adam, the first man, the scripture says Adam became a living soul. God gave him a body for planet Earth. When I leave planet Earth, I don't need this body. It is amazing how each of us, as we grow older, sometimes we still focus on what the world offers and what we can get. I know people that count their money all the time. Some of them would even wallow in it. I had relatives out of Greene County that would take it out and sun it. They wanted it to get a little fresh air out in the sun. If I could have ever caught the day that they were decided to sun it, and I had a fan, would have dried it out real quick. I want you to think about this, though. It's the ways of the world we focus on. Tell me what the world's going to do for you in heaven. Tell me exactly what you own is going to matter in heaven. I do not own the property I own or say that I own. I don't own that. It's God's. And when I leave this earth, it's still going to be God's. It's still going to be here. Till God calls a stop to everything. But friends, you and I have an obligation. Now, it's time God's church stood up and was counted. It's time, each one of us, as individual master links, don't you dare call yourself a master link, meaning that you're a link for Jesus Christ if you're not going to listen to what he tells you to do. Many are wondering, what does God have in store for me? Let me tell you, folks, it won't be what you're thinking it might be. But God does have something in store for you. And if you will follow him, how do I walk closer? Well, you're not going to walk any closer with Jesus staying away from his house. You're not going to walk closer with Jesus not listening to his word taught or preached. That's not walking closer with Jesus. You can cry out all we want to, oh, I want a closer walk with Jesus. Well, then you better start running to the church and running around the other links. Jesus died for the church, and Jesus is the head of the church, not any human being, now or ever has been. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, this is his church. Each one of us are a link, master links, because we are filled with the Spirit of Christ. And each one of us as individual master links understand something. We got a battle and a half going on inside of us. And every day we get up, Lord, give me the strength for this day. And sometime during that day, you'll see the human flaw kick in. Whether it's through temperament, whether it's through situations that are going on within your life. And everybody will start getting angry. Interesting to me, as life hits people, they get mad at God. When death of the body comes, it has nothing to do with death of a Christian or a lost person. People, catch this. God created human beings never to die. We were never supposed to die. Then sin came into the heart of man. And the only way God knew that we could live with him is if we would separate from the body called our vehicle, or I call our vehicle. That's the only way I can be with him. Because the human presence can never come in the presence of God. One of these days, Jesus is going to call. Sooner or later, it doesn't even matter to me. Hunter says I got to get him raised, and my mother said I got to get her buried before I leave. But I don't have the call on that. But I know now. I keep saying back, oh, I wished I knew when I started preaching what I understand now about life. But I see now that in my youth, I wouldn't have appreciated it, nor would I have understood it. But I do know the times in which we are living is a special time. Now, you can look at it and you can see the fall of Christianity in America, and you can look at all of this as how horrible it is and do nothing about it. Or you can see what is really going on within our nation and stand up and be counted. Stand up, but you stand up with the love of Christ in your heart. And when you stand up for Jesus, you just watched him win that battle. Doctors can tell any of us, you've got this long to live. I remember a story my mother told me about somebody that they'd opened up. They used to work for her over at Fort Knox, and they went in, did the surgery, and opened her up and said, there's no hope. She's eat up with cancer, and she can't live. And Mom, I think, got a little bit like some other relative. She wasn't telling the rest of it. And I'm sitting there, well, when did she die? Oh, she's not dead. She lives up there in Ratcliffe somewhere. You see? Now, God calls it. It won't be cancer that will kill me, nor Agent Orange. It'll be Jesus saying, come on, Larry. That body is broken and it is messed up. I got a new one for you. And it's going to be better than a truck. The spirit that Christ gives us, you hold on, folks. But you respect him. You respect your service to him. For he is worthy of all praise. You give it to him. And as you give it to him, he will give you the strength. And you will find peace. It's never in what you own. It's always in who you know. Have peace with Christ. Because he says, when you are at peace with me, it'll never get greater than that. Let's pray. Father, We praise your holy name and give you thanks for the love. And ask, Father, as each of us make commitments to you in our service to you through your church for 2014. Father, I pray that you will bless each family that's present, that your mighty blessing will be upon their heart, will be upon their homes, be upon their finances, be upon their illnesses. Watch over the children, Father, in their foolish days, and give them courage to understand you two are their God. We lift all to you, Father, in prayer, and thank you for giving us human beings your truth through your holy word and your Holy Spirit. Touch us now as we make those commitments to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.